song leader is our brother Hank Davis, Jr. Opening prayer be led by our brother Wiley Edwards. And our speaker this morning be our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, Losing the Cutting Edge. Losing the Cutting Edge. Scripture for this morning's sermon to be taken from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. And our scripture reader this morning is our brother Greg Newton. Presiding at the Lord's table will be our brother Jerry White and myself. And then this morning our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. will lead us in our closing prayer. What was our opening song, brother? 535. Forgot to write that down. Our opening hymn this morning will be our hymn number 535 from our brother Davis. 535, that'll be our first song this morning. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, another opportunity that upon the first day of the week, Lord, we can rise up out of our beds, Father. We can openly assemble together, and that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning. Our Lord, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning, Father, would be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all may be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. Lord, we ask these in all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hymn number 535, we'll sing off and worship with this hymn. 535. And let's sing.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory that way. Oh, I'm in the glory that way. I'm in the glory that way. Heaven is near and the way goes forth. I'm in the glory that way. This is the call. The gospel calls today, in the glory and way. On earth, come home, old nations to obey, for I'm in the glory and way. Oh, I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. Heaven is nearer and the way goes was near. I'm in the glory that way. Onward I go, rejoicing in his love. I'm in the glory that way. Soon I shall see him fit in home above. Oh, I'm in the glory that way. Oh, I'm in the glory that way. I'm in the glory that way. Heaven is nearer and the way goes was nearer. I'm in the glory that way. Oh, I'm in the glory that way. I'm in the glory that way. Heaven is nearer and the way goes but therefore I'm in the glories and ways.
For opening prayer this morning, if you would please. In your hymn book, hymn number 653 and 653. We'll sing both verses of this hymn, 653. And let us sing.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and spoke in your heart, day and secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Have you come in your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord of his name?
Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so grateful and so humble this morning, Lord, that once again you have opened the church doors and you've allowed each and every precious soul to enter in. On this day, Lord, we have the privilege and the opportunity to give you all the praise and the glory for allowing us to have this first day of the week where we can all come together and to worship thee and to greet each other with a smile and a handshake and hoping everybody is doing good on this day. Father, in spite of all of the trials and tribulations that we will go through, these perilous times that we're living in, we have this day, Lord, to seek refuge in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. No matter what we're going through, He can lift us up, Lord, and restore our confidence and our faith. And Lord, to prick our hearts in a way to let us know that all things do work together for the good to those that love Him, are called according to His will, and not our own. We thank you, Father, for this avenue of communication where there are times we need prayer, and knowing, Father, that you have ears to hear our prayer and to direct our steps and our thoughts. And sometimes, Father, when we are struggling, and help us, Lord, to stay on the right path and to always seek your ways and your will, and to always let your will be done, not our own. And Lord, at this time, we thank you so much for Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one that we can find refuge, peace, and comfort in Him. Knowing, Father, that He gave up heaven and He came to earth and He died the most excruciating death, death by crucifixion. And to this, Father, we are so grateful and so thankful. Lord, at this time we extend this heartfelt prayer to the good family, and we know, Father, that when we lose a loved one, sometime, Lord, we have grieving hearts, and we're so grateful and thankful, Father, that we can always reach out to you and pray for the family, and that you will mend their hearts with love and comfort. And Lord, we want to thank you for the lesson that Brother Gilbert has prepared, and that you gave him the desire and the heart to bring us your word. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we do have ears to hear it, to meditate upon it, Lord, and to let it be our guiding light to get us through these trying times. And Lord, at this time, we pray that the songs that we sang, the words that proceeded from my mouth, and all of the things that we say and do here this morning will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 371, 371. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, 371. Let us sing.
When we meet in communion, while partaking
When we think upon the cross, we think about the death. We also think about the cruelness that was given to Jesus, the false accusations that was given to him, the stripes that he bore. And it was a very cruel time. And he did this for us, that we might be able to be washed in the blood. And in doing so, we might have redemption of sins. But you know, the wonderful thing about the cross was the fact that on the third day, he said he'd be lifted up. And we have won the death. The sting of death is over. And what a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity to be able to have newness of life because of our Lord Savior going on our behalf, for we were not worthy of such a sacrifice on Him. As we come together this morning, we think upon all these thoughts. We think upon the bread, which when He was in the upper room said was His body. We think upon the fruit of the vine, which represented His blood as He was in the upper room. He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." So in following in that tradition, we're going to thank God for being able to partake of this bread and fruit of the vine in remembrance of Him on the first day of the week. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that we're able to gather around this table. We thank You that as a family, we can come together, we can sing praises to Your name, we can look into Your word and delve upon Your word. But most of all, Father, we thank You for Your Son who came to this earth, died on the cross for us. Father, we could never be worthy of such a wonderful gift, for Your Son was indeed the unspotted Lamb. He was the only sacrifice that could have been made on our behalf. We thank You that He was so willing to give Himself for us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again just so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. This time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. Thankful for his willingness to come down to this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, Father, without any spot or blemish, Father, and ultimately his willingness to give his life for us on the cross, Father, and the shedding of his blood, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. The Lord, as we're about to partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine which represents his shed blood, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you'd help us all to clear our hearts, clear our minds, Father, reflect back on the cross and reflect back on Christ, Father, and that in doing so, Lord, we might partake of this cup in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper? If you have not, at this time, please raise your hand. I see no hands. We will continue. We also have the commandment to give back as we've been prospered. This has more than just giving of what's of our means, but it also has the thing of what's in our hearts as well. We've heard that the saying, God loves a cheerful giver. But it's more than being a cheerful giver. It's the love that we've shown in our hearts for God's kingdom and to make it grow. We take care of each other with these funds. We take care of the community. And we use this to help each other. In this way, our family grows, our love grows, the kingdom grows, and we show the love that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow and thank him for the funds that we have to be able to give back as we see fit to do. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give of our means. Father, we ask that we not begrudge what we have in our hearts, but we give freely, not from our wallets, but from the love that we have for you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please mark the hymn book in 906. 906 will be the song of invitation this morning. 906. And after marking that hymn, if you would please sing your hymn book to hymn number 703. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, 703. This time I ask all those who can easily stand if we stand this time. 703, and let us sing.
Troublesome times I hear, filling me heart with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is that changed. Humbling your heart to God, save from the chastening rod. Take away fear from God, Christians awake. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. It will be that the trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall arise. Majesty is the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many folks, losing their home of gold. This is God's word, it's all evils abound. And when these times come to pass, hearing the end at last, it will come very fast, as trumpets will sound. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be there too. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall arise. Righteous be in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be yours, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, arising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we there will fly, glory to share. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet there soon. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Christ is meeting in the sky. Going when one dies, heavenward bound.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 1 through 7. That is 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 1 through 7. We're reading from the King James Version. The title of this lesson by Brother Baldwin will be Losing the Cutting Edge. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, And go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master! For it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he shewed him the place. And he cut down the stick and cast it in the thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Brother Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Always good to be in the Lord's house. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health and strength to be able to be here today for this service. We are thankful just to see another Lord's Day, all right? The beginning of another new week. And you know, it's just a blessing in itself just to be able to be here, knowing that God is not just good sometimes. He's good all the time. All the time. God is good. You know, sometimes when I think about how good God is, it is just amazing how good he is to us. All of the blessings, all of the goodness that he shows to us and throughout the world every day. God's goodness is visible from the high spots to the low spots. He is good. Well, we want to say to all of our guests, to our visitors, welcome. We're certainly happy you've come our way today. We hope your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. The doors of the Ypsilanti Church of Christ always swing open on welcome hinges for you and for yours. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings, chapter 6, our lesson text for today. 2 Kings, chapter 6, read into your hearing were verses 1 through 7. I will not reread those today, but I do want to take for a subject from those verses based on that young prophet who lost the axe head, losing the cutting edge, losing the cutting edge. You know, when we consider 2 Kings, we understand that it was written by an exile who was in Babylon, who wished to communicate the lessons of Israel and their history to other exiles, that they would understand why God's judgments and why they were in exile. They needed to understand how they came to that fate. So 2 Kings was written to give them their history and the knowledge of how God had worked with them and God had punished them for their wickedness. All of the kings of Israel, as well as most of the kings of Judah, were evil. The Bible tells us about this in Judges chapter 3 and the verse is 17. It says, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so out of this dark period of Jewish existence, God would raise up a class of prophets that they would go to these kings and hopefully by sharing with them God's word, God's message, that these kings would repent. And not only to share that word with them, but also to give them a message of repentance and some judgments, that word to come. Now, there are two prophets that are highlighted in the book of 2 Kings. We have Elijah, well, that's 1 Kings, and then in 2 Kings we have Elisha. These men had what we will call a school of prophets, probably a lot like the schools we have for preachers now, and some of our colleges even, where young men who are in training to become preachers. Well, in this case, these young men were in training to become prophets. And on this one occasion, this young prophet comes up to Elisha and says, the place where we live is just too straight, which means it's just too narrow. He said, we need to do something about this place where we live. So he suggested that they go and build another facility for their accommodations. When we look at this particular story, what we find is that this young prophet, he requested that they go, and so Elisha said, go. But then the young prophet came back and said, we wish that you would go with us. And so I'm glad to know that Elisha decided to go with them as they sought to build. When we look at this particular lesson, you have to understand what his request was, and that was that every man take a beam. Every man would cut down a beam for the building of this new facility. So what we see here is a great lesson for the church, and that is that everybody in the church needs to be involved in the work of building. Every man ought to have a beam. You ought to have a beam. You ought to take a beam. You ought to cut a beam. You see, some people, when others are doing the work, they like to sit back and watch, and well, they'll compliment you for sure. But in this text, the Bible says that every man was to take a beam. Well, this story revolves around three things that I'm going to share with you, and I would not be long. First of all, it was loaned. Secondly, it was lost. And thirdly, it was located. We want to look at this because so many people today have lost the cutting edge What they're saying is, I've lost my effectiveness. Some people in the church may say, you know, I've lost my zeal. I don't have that zeal anymore. Some people might say, you know, I just can't cut it like I used to. So I'm challenging you today, this morning, with this lesson, and the purpose is to show you that we all need to rekindle our resolve. We all need to rededicate ourselves to the task of God's work. And I hope you will stay with me in this lesson and see how, first of all, this axe head was lost. Secondly, it was recovered. Thirdly, it was loaned. Then it was lost, and then it was recovered. We're talking about an axe head. I'm sure all of you are familiar with axes, right? All right. I didn't see anybody. But anyway, when you think in terms of something that is loaned to you, you know, then when you turn around and go out and lose it, you know, so the prophet, after he lost it, he said, Master, I've lost it, and it was borrowed. You know, so when you lose something that you have borrowed, it presents a different connotation. Because when you have borrowed something and you lose it, you know that you are responsible for whatever it was. You see, if I lose my own axe head, I would not have the same concern as I would have for one that I had borrowed from somebody. I just believe that you and I need to know that in life, that all that we have has been given to us by loan. You know, our good health, our talents, the great environment in which we live, the many opportunities that we have all been loaned to us by God. So none of us should look at life itself as though you and I own this life in which we live. Everything has been given to us by God on loan. Someone would say, well, Brother Gilbert, how do you know that all that we have has been given to us on loan? I'm glad you asked, all right? Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, the verse is 25. It says, He gives to all life, breath, and all things. So that takes care of everything, right? All things that we have come from God. I know you thought you worked for what you have, but God gave it to you. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and the verses 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. In other words, where you live came from God. What you drive came from God. Where you work came from God. What you wear came from God. All of our abilities, all of our talents have come from God Almighty. Every opportunity that we have was given to us by God Almighty. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God? And watch this. And you are not your own, but you have been bought with a price. So I just believe that you and I will have a greater appreciation for life and our involvement in the church when we understand that all that we have has been loaned to us by God Almighty. Whatever talents we have them on loan. Too many people have the attitude that somehow we own something. You know, just give us a little education and we'll get beside ourselves and think, hey, we own this and that. We don't own anything. I want to leave this point by telling you this. There's going to be a day when there's going to be a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning is coming when all of us are going to have to stand before God We're going to have to tell him all that we have done. So when we look at our opportunities, and you look at what you have, always know that it was loaned to you by God. So as I move on to my second point, I understand the fact that this young prophet lost it, but he lost it while he was working. Notice some people have lost the cutting edge while working. Some have lost their effectiveness while working. Some have lost their zeal while working. Let me show you how that can happen. There are some people, while you're working with them, the fact that they disappoint you. You see, I'm doing everything that I can, trying to make this thing work, but I just get somebody working against me. I've got somebody who is disappointing me, in other words. See, I'm out there with my axe, and I'm working. I'm trying my best to build by cutting down some beams, and I want to build a better home. So I cut down a beam. I'm working hard, and I'm perspiring, and then somebody just comes along and says something crude or something that minimizes what I'm trying to do. You know, they're minimizing what I'm trying to do. In other words, I lose my zeal. I lose my effectiveness because somebody's not encouraging me. There are some people who are destined, I believe, in life to just go by and try and discourage other people. So let me show you something about the work in the church. You know how you can start out with a lot of zeal, but all you need is for people to start coming by and criticizing you for what you're trying to do. I'm working hard. So all you don't need is for somebody to come by and discourage you. That makes sense, right? All right. You know, sometimes you can just grow tired, you know, and say, somebody else needs to carry on this work, this responsibility. But others are telling you, you know, I just don't have time. I am too busy. So since you can't get others to work with you, you just do your best and you get tired also. I can admire someone losing the cutting edge while they're trying to do something. And that's a good point. I just thought about that. I'm telling you another thing. This young prophet, he lost it. He lost that axe head. But one thing that caused him to lose it was he just wasn't attentive enough. Anybody knows that when you got an axe head and you're using that axe head, and that axe head is on the end of a handle. See, so while you're cutting, every now and then you need to stop and take a look at that axe head, make sure it is still secure. So here you are. You're out there just bam, bam, bam. Stop, man. Take a look at it, right? Because it could be slipping. Right? The foolish man is just go pew, 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 pew. Never stopped and look at it. That's how they can lose it, young people. Don't ever get in there with your marriage and just pew, pew, pew. Every now and then stop. Look around. You know, things don't always stay the same. Things change. Be aware. Sometimes things will get loose. Now, if this young prophet had just stopped long enough to look at the end of that handle, at his axe head, maybe he wouldn't have lost it. And I always have questioned, why was he cutting so close to the Jordan River in the first place? You know? Don't you know that if you're cutting that close to a river, there is a possibility that that axe head is going to slip off and it's going to fall in that water and then you won't be able to get it. You know, it's going to be lost. It's just like if you were cutting close to the ground, out on the ground, and you lost your axe head, all you have to do is go over there and pick it up and put it back on the handle. Just like if you were in the parking lot. You drop your keys, all I have to do is pick them up and give them back to you. But if you drop them down one of those drainage, you got a problem. Right? Don't ever cut so close that where if you lose it, if things get loose, you cannot retrieve it. Can you picture him losing that thing in the river? He's saying, oh my, here I am, I borrowed it, and I'm out here, and I've lost the axe head. What am I going to do? That's why in preaching, I want to make sure that I am watchful. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, prove all things and do what? Hold fast to that which is good. I love that verse. It's so true. In other words, see, I don't want to just work and preach and not ever check myself. If I'm going to preach something, brother, I'm going to check it. I'm going to make sure it's still sound. I don't want to just preach baptism and not check it. If I'm going to preach one church, brother, I'm going to preach one church. I'm going to check it and keep checking it. I'm going to check that thing to make sure that it is sound. That's why today I have no problem preaching one church as I did 20 years ago. Because I want to stop. I check it. Make sure my axe head is still sharp. Some people don't want to hear one church for everybody. Some people don't want to hear baptism for the remission of sin. Who wants to hear that? But I got news for you. Because I checked my axe head. And I know that my axe is still sharp. And brother, I'm going to keep on cutting. I'm not backing off of it. I'm not going anywhere. The same doctrine stands now that stood before. The axe head must stay sharp. My last point. They located it. Now here's what I like about the fact that they located that axe head. Because he said, the last man of God, in other words, he was saying, he went over and appealed to the man of God. So the man of God was able to help him locate that axe head. He couldn't get it out of the river. He needed some help. Sometimes you can lose your zeal. You can lose your influence, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I've got news for you. If you've got Jesus with you, if you've got the Lord by your side, you've got help right there. See, I don't ever want to do anything that I don't have the Lord with me, because I know that every circumstance that I come across, maybe I can't do anything about it. But I know somebody who can do something about it. I know somebody who is able to do something about it. I'm talking about Jesus. And in this case, it was the prophet Elijah. Elijah went over to him. He saw what was going on, and he said to this young prophet, show me where you lost it. Show me where you lost it. He was able to help him recover it. Number one, you got to admit that you've lost it. You know, a lot of folk don't want to admit that they have lost that cutting edge. They try to get by. They are too proud to admit they've lost that zeal. Some are trying to fake it and shake it. Well, you know, I don't want anybody to know about my situation. I don't want anyone to know that I've lost that edge. So what I like about this entire lesson is the fact that Elijah went over there to him and said, show me where you lost it. And he went right to the spot where the axe head had gone into the water. And the beautiful thing about this, as I close, is that it was retrieved. It was located. Because all of a sudden, when the prophet broke a branch off and threw a stick out in the water, then the axe head started floating. How in the world does a piece of iron float? And why did he throw a stick into the water? I don't know. But I know one thing, he threw it in there, and the next thing I know, the axe head started floating. The Bible says not only did the axe head float, but it started swimming. Yes. You can go and look for yourself. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 6. The axe head started floating. Then it was swimming. God. All right. I'm not sure what caused that to happen. He didn't change the properties of that iron. It was still iron, right? It was his adding his divine power to it that made all the difference in the world. So all I'm simply saying is, that's the way that our God specializes. Listen, here's the lesson to Israel as I close. Since they are in exile, they cannot save themselves. They need God's help. God is letting them know, just as I let that axe head swim, I want you to know that I am able to turn this thing around for you. And if they ever are able to get this message while they were in exile, they need to know God is able. So if you're in exile, if you are in captivity, if you can't get out, if you like that axe head and you're buried and you can't get out, you need to know that God is able. And God can turn this thing around. He can turn anything around. So as I go through life, knowing that God is the one who gives me my strength, sometimes I get weak and lose my cutting edge. I don't feel like I have it like I used to have it, but I don't get discouraged because I know that God is able. He's able to breathe back life into my body. He's able to put strength into my arms and to my legs. He's able to bring back strength to my body. If God can make an axe head swim, I know God can lift us all up. Got to put our faith and our trust in God. Don't lose the cutting edge. This morning you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. Those who are already in the body, strayed away, been unfaithful, done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back? Don't take that chance. Come on back. You need to be restored today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feet. Our Lord, the shame now is spread. Thank you.
Amen.